Hi, this is Linda Bonnie Olin at Faith Songs, www.lindabonnieolin.com. Thanks for joining me on my personal puppet ministry journey. As I've explained in previous posts in this series, personal puppet ministry is what I call a solo puppeteer and his or her puppet pal sharing God's love by chatting back and forth in front of an audience, basically playing the role of themselves. I'm starting out with two puppet pal candidates. One is a cute little cow. The other is a black crow. The crow needs major surgery to be converted from a regular stuffed animal to a hand puppet. So I'm going to postpone developing that character until I have time to make it into a functioning puppet. The cow is ready to use as soon as I give it a name, a voice, and a personality. Those three elements will hopefully work together to make my puppet a truly memorable character. By personality, I mean the kind of characteristics it will have. Will it be male or female or gender neutral? Sweet or feisty? Talkative or shy? Casual or elegant? Impulsive or thoughtful? City or country? That kind of thing. This puppet's personality is already partly determined by its obvious identity as a cow. Its black and white color pattern marks it as a member of the Holstein breed, like the cows on our dairy farm. Cattle are animals that are either male or female. My cow has little pink horns, so you might assume it's a bull, which is a male, but actually Holstein cattle of both sexes are born with horns. You rarely see an adult dairy cow with horns because it's standard practice to remove them for the safety of both the farmer and the other cows in the herd. A little lesson in agriculture there. Anyway, my cow has very sweet, soft, almost childlike features, which I'm going to translate as a girl cow, in the age range we'd call preteen or teenager if she were human. That would make her a heifer if you want to get technical, but we'll just call her a cow for the sake of simplicity. We'll say that she hasn't had her horns removed. That might make an interesting tidbit to talk about in a skit later on. Cows live on a farm, and so do I, so that settles the city versus country question. Cows are famous for giving milk, but they only do that after they have their first calf. My pal is too young to do that. Well, what else do we know about cows? Cows moo. Cows don't go to school. Cows eat hay and corn. All those standard cow things can be part of my pal's persona, her onstage character. As we go along, I might give her a few traits that are not what the audience will expect from a cow. Those departures from normal cowness can be used for comic effect or to make a point for a particular message. Besides having general cow characteristics, my pal needs to be an individual. I'm picturing her as very nice, humble, good-natured, very young and naive, and enthusiastic, with a gentle sense of humor, sometimes unintentional. Her limited knowledge about religion and church matters can set up discussions that teach a Christian lesson. Her lack of sophistication can lead to some funny moments, too. Do you remember the character of Georgette in the old Mary Tyler Moore show? Georgette was played by the wonderful actress Georgia Engel, who unfortunately passed away recently. The character of Georgette was an adult woman, but she had an adorable childlike quality, the same sort of quality I want my cow to have. I'll keep Georgette in mind as a kind of role model to help me keep my puppet's personality and manner clear and consistent. This is important because I plan to perform multiple times for the same audience. If my cow behaves like a sweet country bumpkin one week and a wisecracking pest the next, everybody will be unnecessarily confused. Continuity helps establish a sense of familiarity with the character, which contributes a lot to relationships between the puppet and her puppeteer and the audience. On the downside, sticking to a consistent personality for my pal does limit the topics and techniques I can use with her. For example, I enjoy humor that tends towards satire. Not mean or belittling anyone, which has no place in a ministry program, but a bit edgier than my nice little cow would appreciate. That's one advantage of developing the crow character as a second pal for my personal puppet ministry. Depending on the topic and the message of a particular skit, I might want my pal to be more sassy than sweet. My crow character could fit that bill, so to speak. For contrast, the crow could be a male, older than my little cow, more worldly wise. He'll definitely have a good heart, which is absolutely necessary for building the relationships that are so important in personal puppet ministry. But his basic goodness will be dressed up in a less nicey-nice manner. He'll get in some zingers with a caustic sense of humor. Yeah, I went there, and I've got a million more crow-related puns stored up. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I need to give my cow pal a special, memorable name. Not too long, not too complicated, not too difficult for me or the person who introduces us to pronounce. I want a name that fits her unique identity. In this case, she's a cow. A cow-related name will give my audience a head start on feeling like they know her, and also will clearly differentiate between my cow pal and my crow pal. I came up with a slew of cow-related puns and possibilities. The most appealing ones started with the syllable moo. Moolah, moody, mooch or moochie, moonbeam, and muchacha. Moolah had a nice ring to it, but I decided to keep that word in reserve for talking about her money. I actually found a lot of other words with moo-sounding syllables that will be comical to use in my conversations with my cow pal. I'll stash those away for later. I ruled out moody and mooch because they suggested personality traits that didn't fit my cow's sweet, uncomplicated character. That's part of the consistency thing I talked about. Moonbeam wasn't so bad, but it put too much emphasis on the moon instead of the moo. The winning name, drumroll, Muchacha. Muchacha, spelled with M-U, is Spanish slang for a cute young girl. That fits my cow's character, and I can write it as Muchacha, M-O-O. The cow connection is very clear, and the cha-cha ending adds a distinctive touch. Since cha-cha is also the name of a dance step, I can play off of that in a skit. Speaking of names, how should my puppet pal address me? Just plain Linda would be fine if I were a teenager like Muchacha, but I haven't been one of those in a long, long time. A young girl calling a 60-something woman by her first name might sound disrespectful and set the wrong example if the kids in the audience are expected to call adults Mrs. Smith and Mr. Jones. On the other hand, Muchacha is supposed to be my friend, not my daughter or my Sunday school student. Mrs. Olin is too formal and authority figure-ish for a friend. I think I'll borrow a Southern custom and have Muchacha call me Miss Linda. Using the courtesy title Miss, along with my first name, strikes a better balance. That suits my church audience, too. Our congregation isn't super formal. Since talking is a huge part of personal puppet ministry, creating my pal's vocal personality is a fun and important challenge. Muchacha's vocal characteristics have to contrast with my natural voice, so the audience immediately recognizes which one of us is speaking. As you can tell, I have an alto speaking voice, and I sing in chest voice. Well, Muchacha can speak and sing in my head voice, which will be higher and a little more nasal than my natural voice. That range should be comfortable for me to sustain throughout a performance without straining my vocal cords. That crooning sort of falsetto voice will suit Muchacha's character very well, too. Georgia Engel's Georgette character will serve as my voice model for Muchacha, as well as her personality model. A peculiar speech mannerism, such as a regional accent or drawl, can add a distinctive touch to your puppet pal's voice, as long as you don't overdo it. Since I chose to have Muchacha call me Miss Linda, which is considered a Southern thing, I thought about giving her a Southern accent. I decided against it. It would be distracting to have to keep remembering to use speech patterns that don't come naturally to me, and probably would come off sounding hokey anyway. Besides, a pronounced Southern accent would make it harder for my upstate New York audience to understand what my puppet pal is saying. Getting a message across requires a clear, understandable voice. And after all, conveying a message is the prime objective for my puppet ministry. I don't want anything to interfere with that. Another reason for deciding against a Southern accent is that I don't want to be tied down to a matching backstory. Do you know what a backstory is? That's the character's fictional background, like where they came from and what they've done. What do they have for family? What do they have for breakfast? Whatever. Some of those details will be revealed in your conversations with your pal. Some details only you will know. Even those will help you maintain consistency with your puppet pal's character. You can add to your pal's backstory as you go along. My point at the moment is that it's wise to avoid committing yourself to a major backstory element, like identifying Muchacha as a Southerner, that you might not be willing or able to carry on with in the long term. Okay, I now have a puppet pal named Muchacha. I have a plan for her voice and a general idea of her personality. It's time to write a short scripted conversation, rehearse it, and perform a trial run. As it happens, I'm scheduled to conduct the worship services this weekend at Oquaga United Methodist Church and Harpersville United Methodist Church, so Muchacha can make her debut during the children's message time. Since I'm putting the service together, I know what the theme of the day will be, and I can write a script for Muchacha that supplements the overall takeaway. Listen to the next audio clip to hear Muchacha's maiden voyage. I'll follow that up with a brief audio clip discussing some lessons learned. Thanks for listening.